The Tony Award-nominated musical that made Judy Holliday a star, Bells Are Ringing, as a classic comedy with a very sweet heart, written by seven-time Tony Award winners Betty Comden and Adolph Green. Bells Are Ringing was originally directed by five-time Tony Award winner Jerome Robbins and choreographed by Robbins and eight-time Tony Award winner Bob Fosse. So, see, this pedigree is really, really good. Bells Are Ringing is currently running at the Colonial in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. It's part of the Berkshire Theater Group's summer season. Kate Baldwin and Graham Rowett are starring in the show, which is getting just incredible reviews, and it's a great pleasure to welcome them both to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Morning.
It's a delight to have you both here. What brought you to doing this classic?
Let's see. We worked together last year at the Berkshire Theater Festival doing a production of A Little Night Music, yes, which is a Stephen Sondheim, Hugh Wheeler show. And we had such a great time. And so with our director, the wonderful Ethan Hurd, and at the request of Kate McGuire, the artistic director there, we decided that we would like to come back this summer, and we put together a list of musicals and narrowed it down to about three, and then we all chose Bells Are Ringing because we decided we wanted to do something fun. We wanted to do something where we get to be in love with each other instead of yell at each other and cry at each other as we had done the previous summer. And so here we are, and I can't believe it actually happened.
I'm curious, what were the other two shows on the list?
The other two shows were Annie Get Your Gun and Wonderful Town.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So Bells Are Ringing is a very popular show, as I mentioned, and yet you don't hear it being produced a lot.
I think it gets labeled as being dated a little bit, which is probably can be said of a lot of musicals of that period. And I think if you come see the show, you'll see that it's actually, there's a lot of great parallels with modern life. But I mean, there's one or two moments. There's one particular song called Drop That Name, where Ella goes to a fancy party and all the fancy guests are dropping the names of all the fancy people they know. And so I think every now and then there's one or two songs that people latch on to and say, well, that's very dated. And I think that's why do you think it doesn't get done as much, honey?
Well, yeah, I think that's true.
We're married, by the way.
Yeah, I was about to call
that. We're not calling Joe honey.
although feel free, it's fine.
No, I think you're exactly right. I think there's a misconception that it's dated and that it might feel a little stodgy. But I think what we're discovering from audience members, we had a talk back on Tuesday night, and what we've discovered from people is that it feels very fresh and very contemporary because there are some universal themes, you know. There's the theme of loneliness within a big city. There's the theme of communication and how difficult it can be to get the right message to the right person on time, even with all of our devices and our Facebook and our Twitter. The same complications arose in 1956 when they were talking about a switchboard. So you know, the common element is the human heart and the human mind, and you know, all in search of a bit of human kindness and contact, right?
Absolutely. And I think also the idea that in with modern social media, you still have the idea that you you create personas for yourself.
Yeah.
You show yourself the way you want to be seen, and you create illusions. And I think that was, you know, Ella, for those who don't know the show, Kate's character, Ella, works at an answering service. And she throws herself into her job so much that she becomes different people when she answers the phone for different customers.
Yes.
So
sort of meddles in their lives.
That's very much so.
Helping, not meddling.
Okay. Helping, assisting.
Right.
But I think there's a lot to be said about the way we present ourselves in modern society, socially, and the way that people do back then. It's sort of timeless.
So then she falls for one of the customers, and that happens to be you.
Yes, I play, I'm a playwright who is going through writer's block. He's written for most of his career with a partner, and they have split, and now he has to write on his own, and he's terrified. So he calls Mom a lot. Mom is the character Ella plays at the switchboard. And he just likes to talk to her, and she's very encouraging, and she says, "You can do it. I know you can." And I take her word. She fills me with confidence, and I get to work. But then I won't ruin it. But Ella has reason to come visit me at my apartment, and that's when I see what a beautiful girl goes along with this amazing brain. And
yeah,
I love that the two of you are married, because Kate just looked at you like she just put her chin on her hand, as if I want to see you get out of this.
Yeah, right. He's gonna keep talking.
Oh, the holes I dig myself into.
He's going to keep talking.
This looks so fun. I'm just going to watch him implode.
I know. Actually, the other day, we came off from, I don't remember what it was. It was coming off from the bows or something. And we started talking about what had just happened. Or I don't even know what the subject was. But our friend Joe, who plays Sandor, turned over his shoulder and goes, "This is the play right here. The two of you are backstage." talking about what just happened as opposed to what was on stage.
I have vivid memories, though, of a great theater story, which had to do with John Lithgow and Brian D'Arcy James when they were doing the musical
Sweet Smell of Success.
Sweet Smell of Success. And they used to have a thing where they would, the delicate act of telling the other actor that you need them to do something differently. And the way they had devised was that one would walk into the other's dressing room and say, "Do you have any notes for me?" And if they and then they would sort of, you'd walk in open-hearted and say, "Give it." And I think we haven't quite reached that point, but I think that's a good way of approaching it. If you have any, do you have any notes for me, honey?
We'll talk later.
All right, we'll talk later. We got the car ride. We'll do that. You had mentioned talkbacks, and I've been asking all of our actor friends who've been coming in talking about various productions, because I have made it a real goal that is as many theater performances as I see this summer, which is a lot, that I will go to the talkback, because I find them just to be so fascinatingly tragic.
So do I.
Yeah, they're just, and I'm curious. So I've started to ask our actor friends what it is like to do this, because to me it's like attending your own funeral. I think you're on stage. You've just given your heart. You're doing this beautiful, beautiful work, especially something that is especially challenging, that has, you know,
sure,
some real nuance to it, where you're sitting down and you know, and then somebody gets up at the end and says, "Well, I hate the ending and I don't like you."
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well,
right.
Yeah, all right.
And
well,
that dress you're wearing makes you look terrible.
That's
yes.
Right. So uh-huh. are these helpful? Do we continue doing these?
Well, they're not for us. They're not for the cast. They are for the audience. And it is truly a marker of our day and age, where participation is sought after and sometimes expected. You know how many TV shows are on and where you call in and you vote for your favorite singer?
That's
or
right.
you blog about it, or
right.
All you have to do is read the comment section on, you know, a New York Times article or whatever or what have you.
And they're hideous. They're horrible.
They're awful.
They're, yes.
So people want to
never
voice
read the
their
comment
opinion.
Section. Never yeah. read the comment section.
People always want to voice their opinion. And so talkbacks sometimes can give a way for people to voice how they feel about certain things. But I will say, this past one that we did was the loveliest, mm-hmm. kindest, sweetest talkback I've ever been a part of. And there were genuine, intelligent, thoughtful questions, and I was so grateful that I signed up to go because people had really honest and good questions about the material, about what it was like to put it together musically, about our specific choices to do the show with a cast of 12 equity actors and 6 apprentices, and the way in which we did it. So I was very, very grateful for this. It was actually quite a supportive time, wouldn't you say?
I think it was great. It was lovely. I think, but you're right. There are times when you go to a talk back and someone will raise their hand and they don't have a question.
No.
And That's what you think. You think they're going to ask you questions, and sometimes they just want to talk. And yes. That's when you realize that's what why it's called a talk back. Isn't
yeah.
It? They just talk.
Because I've heard producers say, oh, it's very, especially in the early stages of a work, that it's very helpful for us to get a sense of what the audience is feeling. And I'm thinking, yeah, you shouldn't do it that way.
We did attend
just
a...
Go down into the bathroom and listen to people as they're walking in. Yeah,
you really want something
saying.
Honest.
Yeah, you're right.
We had a... We went to a talk back. We went to see a friend who presented one of his plays in a very early stage, and there was a talk back afterwards, and that was... I think in that situation, there's an opportunity for those comments to be helpful because that play is going to continue to be worked on and developed. So yeah, but in this state, you know, it's more about what do you think of our show and thanks for coming and we appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
The fact that Comden and Green you have On the Town, which is on Broadway, you have On the 20th Century, which is
on
Broadway, both beautiful shows, and one of them with Berkshire Roots. Mm-hmm. So it seems very nice. Because what is it? Just in Time comes from the show.
Just in Time, the party's over.
Long before I knew you. So
I met a girl.
So I mean, some great stuff.
Better Than a Dream. I don't know if you're familiar with that one. That was added for the movie version, and it's
we've put it in our stage show.
Subsequent stage productions.
Yeah.
Just beautiful music.
It's gorgeous music. And Julie Stein, I think, was left off the list when you were talking about all the collaborators at the beginning, who then went on to write Gypsy and movies and countless musicals. It was really a craftsman in terms of melody. And
it's great to be in a show, too, where the audience is constantly having that moment of, oh, I didn't know that song was in this show.
I can hear the audience. When I start the verse to The Party's Over, which is somewhat... it might be deceptive if you know the melody of Party's Over. But then when I start the refrain, the party's over, people go, oh,
yeah.
And they start that song. And I do too in my head when I'm singing it. I go, oh, this is the great,
you feel comforted
wonderful
by
part.
That.
Yeah.
Well, it's a wonderful thing. When you're working on a new musical, you have the extra challenge of having to win an audience over with new songs and new scenes and new stories. It's quite a gift when you get to sing a song that they already love.
Right.
That's a huge gift to a performer.
Yeah.
Well, the reviews have been amazing. I can't tell you how many people I've had just personally come up to me and say, you have to see the show. The one thing you're going to see this summer, you have to see the show.
Oh, great.
So it's running through the 26th at the Colonial Theater, Berkshire Theater Group's production of Bells Are Ringing. And for more information, you can go to berkshiretheatergroup.org, berkshiretheatergroup.org. Kate Baldwin and Graham Rowat are the stars of the production. They are our guests this morning. And I thank you both for being here. What a delight to have you both here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of the run. Again, you can find out more information about Bells Are Ringing running at the Colonial through July 26, berkshiretheatergroup.org, berkshiretheatergroup.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.